You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in the studio with my co-host, best friend, marching partner, David Niles.
I don't know if you intended the pun, but you said, welcome to the Catholic Man Show. Almost like, welcome to the Catholic Man Show, or welcome to the...
Oh,
no. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, yeah. But no, that was not intended.
Well, I picked up on it.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you picking up what I'm putting down.
Even when you didn't put it down.
Or even realize I put it down.
I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
I appreciate it. And welcome to the Catholic Man Show.
To thee. Welcome to thee.
We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, and we raise our glass.
So raise your glass.
That's what we do every episode. Actually, every episode we do three things. We have a manly beverage, which we open... review and enjoy
in moderation.
We highlight a man gear and we talk about a manly topic. Those are the three things we always do every show.
Yes.
We have a lot to talk about today.
Speaking of moderation, I have to admit something.
Okay.
I was immoderately eating some cake before I came over here. It's called gooey butter cake. Okay. And I did not eat it in moderation.
Kind of feeling it a little
bit. I had more than one piece.
Well,
okay, I'm going to leave it at that. I feel bad, but I feel so good.
Well, hey, Dave, today...
It's called gooey butter cake.
Yeah, I mean, gooey butter cake, you can't...
It's, you know what, it tastes exactly like what you think it tastes like. Gooey butter cake.
Yeah, amazing. A little amazingness.
Still haven't had any bacon jelly, bacon jam.
Yeah, that would be sweet. I haven't either.
You gave the book away. We don't even know how to make it anymore.
I know. I should have taken a picture. If I was smart, I would have taken a picture of the recipe, but I didn't do that.
Hindsight. Anyway.
So this week, Dave, was a pretty crazy week, just on the forefront with the March for Life happening.
Word.
Well, I mean,
word.
I guess this upcoming weekend will be the March for Life at Washington, D.C.
Right.
But
it got postponed because of the inauguration.
Right. But this last week was... a lot of the March for Life's locally, especially here in Tulsa.
Right.
And I got to tell you, Dave, I was pumped to see the attendance, like the people who showed up.
So we have for Life. We have the biggest march here in Tulsa in the region, whatever you call the region. Just to kind of explain that a little bit, last year, there were a couple hundred kids from Chicago came here because we were the closest large march to Chicago. So ours
is surprising.
Yes, like you think Chicago would have
a big
one.
Yeah.
But they were planning on going to Washington, D.C. However, if you remember last year, the snow
hit it. Yeah.
And they couldn't get through, so they came down to Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we had somewhere between 2,700 and 3,000 people in our march, which is awesome.
It was super awesome. And it was a great response to the women's march, quote unquote, the women's march that happened the day before.
Right.
And... you know, Dave, we kind of had a little miracle happen in Tulsa during the march.
Right.
With
the weather.
The weather was supposed to be really bad. And it did say that it was supposed to, like, stop raining at least by the time the march was supposed to take off. But as we were walking, so Mass started at noon and then the march was at 1. We were walking into Mass and it was still drizzling outside.
Yeah.
And the bishop was...
Yeah, I was going to say, Bishop Condrilla, he called it.
He called it. He said, at the beginning of Mass, he says, I predict that by the time Mass is over, the sun will be shining. And we were all kind of like, I don't know about that. Like, I just walked from outside and it was drizzling. Before he said the final blessing, we saw sun rays from the stained glass windows coming in to the cathedral. And yeah. I was like, man, that was awesome.
Uh-huh. L-I-B.
And, yeah, and not only did it, like, the sun come out, but it got warm.
Yeah, I had to take my jacket off.
Yeah, I had to take my coat off. So, awesome. But we marched. We had our Catholic Man Show banner that we marched with.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There was it was
you
just
really,
lot of
you
people.
Never know what's going to happen in Oklahoma with the weather.
No, you don't. You don't know.
I remember a day where we woke up, it was snow on the ground, and mm-hmm. it was like in the 70s that day.
Dave, we have to talk just briefly, really quick,
the
bishop's homily. How awesome was his homily?
Oh, was he just like, he was calling it out,
okay, so
laying it down.
I just want to briefly go, like, kind of summarize his homily, because it was just so good. I mean, Bishop David Condorla did an amazing job with his homily.
He's a well-known defender of life. Yeah.
And his whole topic was really, you know, we strive for unity. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be strive for unity. But we strive for unity not for it being its own end.
Yeah, not for unity's sake.
Right.
But for the sake of the truth.
Right, for the sake of the truth. And if we're just striving for unity's sake, then we should not do that. Out of charity, we should be
Well, his whole point was that, like, you know what? We are actually a cause of disunity.
Right.
Because, you know, we're out there shaking bushes saying, no, we're telling people you shouldn't be doing this. Abortion is wrong.
Right.
And it's a cause of disunity.
Right.
But it's not our fault that it's disunity. You know, it's like the problem is abortion is actually causing the disunity. It's not us.
Mm-hmm.
But we are, you know, we appear to be the cause and that we will be until they change the law.
Right.
He just was laying it down.
Yeah.
So good. I was loving it.
Yeah, I was digging it. So shout out to Bishop David Condorla.
I almost started fist pumping in the middle of his homily.
So, okay, I just had to get that out of the way because I thought, like, his homily was so good that the people deserve to at least hear a little brief synopsis.
But we got to get to this man beverage because this is truly a unique
whiskey. This is the first time for
whiskey. Us. This is a whiskey, but it's a much different whiskey than what we've had on the man show thus far.
So we have to give it up to our man, Jim Finster.
Finster is a sweet last name. It kind of like implies, like, you know, I'm a little bit ornery.
Okay.
You know, like, you know, like the
feisty?
Name.
Feisty?
Yeah, a little bit feisty. It's just the name Finster. It kind of sounds like, yeah, he's probably.
Well, this guy, Jim, he is a dedicated Catholic, dedicated dad. He's a listener of the Catholic Man Show, friend of the show, and I've had a lot of really good conversations with him.
He's lit, as the hipsters, the college kids would say these days, lit.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know that word?
Yeah, that's means cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I suspect it's a compressed version of legit, like they shortened it again, but I haven't verified.
Okay. If you're 21 and you're listening, let us know.
They're making fun of. They're probably not listening.
Yeah,
anymore,
they're not listening
but
anymore.
Whatever.
So he sent us one of his favorite whiskeys, which is a Whistle Pig, and it's a straight rye whiskey, 10 year.
Mm-hmm.
So let's cheers to Jim.
And to Jesus.
And to Jesus. Yeah. We're on the Lord's team.
To Jim and Jesus.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers.
You know what? It's a very dark color.
Yep. Okay, so Whistle Pig, it takes the basics of rye and adds a twist. It's 100% rye, which is very rare.
Okay.
Most ryes are around like 80 to 90 proof. This rye is 100 proof. Okay? So it has a double...
It's 100 proof or 100% rye?
It's 100% rye and 100 proof.
Okay.
Both. Both
gotcha.
And.
Gotcha.
Catholic.
So it's 200% whiskey. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh man, yeah, we're really
pretty sure
that.
That's what you mean.
Yeah, so it's a double barrel aging process, which is very rare for rye whiskeys as well. It starts in the traditional barrels, but then finishes into bourbon barrels. So anyway, it says the nose is all spice, kind of orange, has an orange peel, oak, char, and caramel.
Whoa.
And then the palate is sweet, hints of caramel and vanilla, and followed by rye, spice, and mint.
If you're drinking this out of a Glencairn glass, do not stick your nose too far into the Glencairn glass.
It's
100 proof.
Yeah.
It'll burn you a little bit.
Yeah, it will. Fair warning.
Nobody warned me.
It does have a long finish, warm butterscotch and caramel.
You know what? I was about to say like butter.
Mm-hmm. Not because of the
but
cake.
But maybe
you had.
I was going to say maybe it's because I was just eating gooey butter cake.
So we have to thank Jim for sending this to us. It is it's a Canadian rye, but they bottle it in Vermont. So you use Vermont water and everything like that. But it's a really good rye. In fact, it's probably the best rye whiskey that I've had. I personally have not, like some of the rye whiskeys that I've tried, I haven't been a big fan of.
Really? What about Maker's Mark? Maker's Mark is I'm sorry. That's a red wheat. Never mind. Yeah. Forget that. Cancel.
Okay. I did.
Cancel.
It's done. Real quick, also, we have to thank another guy, Jim Broderick. He sent us some cigar stands.
No.
Tim. Tim and Jim. I'm sorry. Tim Broderick. Sorry, man.
Your name is actually Tim.
I know. Anyway,
remember that.
He sent us some cigar stands that are pretty sweet. He turned them himself. He made them. So thank you so much to Tim. Thank you so much to Jim for sending us our Whistle Pig straight rye whiskey.
To clarify what I said, Adam's first name is Timothy. His middle name is Adam.
But I go by Adam.
But he goes by Adam.
So, there you go.
You know the big secrets.
When we get back, we're going to talk about a man gear that should have been probably done the first four episodes of the Catholic Man Show.
Easily.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
You're listening to a Breadbox Media podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. I forgot I was bringing us in. I was about 10 seconds late. Adam was just staring at me.
You just wanted to make sure everybody listened to the full intro.
Right, yeah. Those last few seconds are good.
Yeah, and we talk over them sometimes.
Usually.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back.
Welcome back. We're drinking some Whistle Pig straight rye.
I like the name Whistle Pig.
It is a pretty cool name. 10-year... given to us by our friend Jim Finster.
You know what I like about it's kind of got a raw quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it's strong,
but it's
still smooth.
It is strong, it is smooth, but it is like it's not too refined. It's kind of boom, just hits you.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
But there's like a heaviness to the flavor, not to And I don't mean heaviness to, like, the viscosity. I mean, like, to the flavor itself. There's a heaviness to it that I like. It's difficult for me to describe.
And
do you know what
long,
I mean?
Yeah, and it's long at the end.
Yeah. I mean, it just, like, the flavor, it, like, weighs on you.
Yeah.
You know what you're drinking.
Absolutely. I definitely think it would be really good with a, if you're a Manhattan guy, I think that it'd be really good with a Manhattan.
Could be.
I'm not like a big Manhattan guy, but if you were, I think that would be a good one to drink with.
Okay.
Because it's kind of stronger.
Only one way to find out.
There you go. So Jim was kind enough to give us this whiskey. He's a friend of the show.
Mr. Finster.
And I think that, like I said this last time, and I truly mean this, like friends of the show is just like amazing. Like it's really the group of guys that have joined the Friends of the Show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much fun to throughout the day look to see what they're posting. The interaction is awesome. The friendship that is happening it is really cool.
I don't even do regular Facebook anymore.
Right.
I only
I just check that.
I only have so much time to allot to Facebook in my life.
Right.
And the friends of the show, like, I spend it all there, and I really don't care about the rest anyway. So,
yeah, it really is cool. And we have a couple guys that are actually doing the Exodus 90 right now.
Yeah, so they're more or less absent.
Yeah, and they've been super active as well, but up until then.
Right.
So anyway, if you want to become a friend of the show, join, go to breadboxmedia.com and click on the Friend of the Show tab. And if you donate $10 a month, we will send you out a Glencairn glass, a Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass,
yeah.
And then you'll get our newsletter and this Facebook group and a couple other cool things.
And you may have received a gift from us lately.
Yeah, and if you haven't, and you think
Let
you
us
should,
know.
It's probably coming.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we just got done with our man beverage.
I'm so excited to announce our man gear.
I'll let you do it since you're so excited.
Dude, I am excited.
I'm going to let you do it.
All right. The man gear today is duct tape.
There it is.
Right?
Duct tape. How did we not do duct tape?
That's what I was saying.
One of like the first four or five episodes of the Catholic Man Show.
How did we make it this long?
Without duct tape.
It's obvious.
I was like struggling this week on the topic and the man gear. Like I was just struggling with it. In fact, I bailed on my original topic.
Yeah, you did.
The 11th hour.
Yeah.
And went with something different. But the gear, I had like a couple different things that I was going back and forth with. And then it hit me like, we have not done duct tape yet. And as a man, I think every man uses duct tape.
There's also something similar to duct tape I saw on YouTube or Facebook. It was a video that I've wanted to do for a while.
Yeah, I forget. It's like Flex.
Don't say what it is. Don't say what
it's
it
like
is.
Cause we're nothing.
Gonna, cause it's nothing. Because we're going to maybe use it.
It's not
maybe
anything.
Next week. Maybe I'll bring. Maybe we'll hit it up next week.
Yeah, it's not anything.
It's something. Anyway.
So, okay.
Duct tape. Okay, so I thought. Anyway. No, I'll let you tell.
No,
because
go ahead.
Of the things that I thought about duct tape turned out to be wrong.
Okay, so like what?
Like the name progression, duct tape.
With a T, duct.
No, duck.
Okay, like the animal.
Like the animal.
Okay.
Like that's in season right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I thought like, oh, surely that is a play on words that came second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that the original form is duct tape.
Mm-hmm. But that's not true.
Turns out that's not true. So, I had no idea.
So it was made for the military, and then it
also did not know that.
And then it got passed on to NASA as well. It became popular with NASA. But it was made for the military because they were shipping crates, and they're actually using wax to make it waterproof. And
I'm shaking my head right now. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's what they were using. And then they came up with.
When was this?
I don't know the year. I'm not sure.
Like early 1900s.
I don't know the year. I don't know. I can't even.
Not even the era.
Can't ballpark that.
Okay.
But so they were using it for that, and then they came up with duct tape and started using it, and they were like, it's waterproof. You know, it's like a duck. And so they called it duct tape to begin with.
How do you know she's a witch? Because she weighs as much as a duck.
So, ironically, that is. Okay.
You don't have the same affinity for that movie that I do.
You're right. You're right. That's correct.
She turned me into a newt.
No, we're not going through that whole movie.
I got better.
Okay. So ironically, it's called duct tape, and that's the only thing that's really not good for.
It's so funny.
Is to use on duct work. They started using it and realized, no, this is the actually worst application. They used a bunch of different types of tape, and the duct tape was the only one that failed constantly and terribly, is what they said. So.
So funny.
In fact, it's not even, you can't even use it, like, it's not, like, in code and for buildings now. You can't even use it. You're not allowed to use
it. On duct.
On duct. So, anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. Like,
that is funny.
That, that's what, it also helped save Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Did you
know
that?
I did because I saw the movie. They had to make that air filter.
They had to make the air filter.
Like, do you have a sock? And the round, you got to figure out how to put a square peg in a round hole. That's what they did with the duct tape saved the day.
Dude, it's also been used to prevent infection.
What? It's just like Krupnik.
Krupnik.
Krupnik. Krupnik.
Yeah. They started using it, you know, to help prevent infection. They used duct tape. They marked like 3-foot square safe zones extending from the doorway to the patient's room. This allowed like physicians to casually converse with their patients without having to like change their full sterile gear every time they came in to check in with the patient. And so research shows that the duct tape idea saved the hospital system $110,000 a year and 2,700 hours of staff time.
So you're saying like the doctors, with all of their study and knowledge, had difficulty estimating 3 feet from the patient?
I don't want to speak for the doctors.
Seems ironic.
I'm just saying that that is what I...
$110,000 a year is a long time. I mean, these doctors must be terrible mathematicians.
I'm not going against them. I'm pro-doctor.
I believe you. I am too.
I'm pro-life and I'm pro-doctor. So, also, I know that we have a couple listeners in Ohio. Dude, there is an annual duct tape festival in Avon, Ohio.
Avon, Ohio?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they like have crazy different duct tape sculptures, a fashion show. Like, I guess they...
I've seen like the duct tape prom dress. Obviously, yeah. The duct tape wallet is staple.
Dude, I had one like in high school.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I used it a lot.
They last a long time.
They last a really long time.
You know
what?
Almost too long.
Yeah.
Okay, like... You get over, like, I'm totally over this duct tape wallet. I'm ready to let it go. It won't die.
Yeah, it won't. It's funny you mentioned also the prom dress thing. There's actually a scholarship.
I know.
$10,000 scholarship for, I guess, people submitting their duct tape dresses.
Look it up on Google it. I mean, there are some legit duct tape prom dresses out there. I mean, it's like, wow, I don't know how long it took you. And also, what a terrible medium to work with, because, you know, it's like if you have to put two pieces together, the sticky sides together. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you touch duct tape, the sticky side of duct tape to another sticky side of duct, it's like
you're done.
Yeah. You just scrap the whole dress and start over. I mean,
that would be tough. OK, so real quick.
It'd be terrible.
Do you have a favorite duct tape story? I caught you off guard
gosh,
there. Okay,
yeah,
so I'll tell you mine, and then let you think. We only have a couple minutes anyway.
Yeah.
So back when I was in college, we went out to the lake, and there's this like big river, this dam that, and it like steeps off, and there's tons of water that's flowing down. Mm-hmm. And we thought, we're in college, don't judge me. We thought, how cool would it be to slide down this concrete dam with all this water? So we jumped down there, and of course we couldn't stop. The water's running, it's slippery, we're on concrete, and I'm flying down there, and I'm like trying to stop, and I'm just like cutting up my fingers like crazy, you know, I'm clawing on the concrete, just basically grinding my fingers down on concrete.
Sure.
And I finally stop right before the edge, right before there was like a 14-foot cliff with a bunch of brush at the bottom, which would have been really painful. So I got back into the boat, and like I had like almost nubs on the tops of my fingers. I used duct tape for Band-Aids.
On the plus side, if you're looking to get into the guitar, great way to build up your calluses.
Yeah. So that wasn't very manly of me. I did not think that through. But I was in college, so don't judge me. Matthew 7, don't judge me.
Who am I to judge?
We'll be right back with the man topic. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise our glass.
If you like what you're hearing, become a friend of the show. Visit breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I hope you enjoyed that break. Or if you're podcasting, maybe that 15, 20 seconds of skipping. I guess it doesn't even take that long.
No. Sometimes one thing I like to do, and I may have said this before, is when I meet someone, I say, how art thou? And it's funny to see the way they respond.
Thou art good.
Yeah, they say, thou art good. And it's like, Nope. You meant nope.
No.
I know. Well, I am good, but how art thou?
Yeah. So last week, Dave, we had a pretty sweet topic on leisure.
I felt relaxed.
Yeah. Leisurely, we were discussing leisure.
Yeah, it was very contemplative.
And I was going to like talk about a specific topic that I'm not going to name because I'll use it later.
Okay.
But I like bailed on it.
You totally did.
At the very end, like
sometimes you got to bail.
I think it was like
you got Friday. You got to know when to hold 'em.
I think
know
it was like
when to
Friday.
Fold 'em.
I think it was Friday. Friday night. I said, nope, I'm not doing that. I just like felt like I wasn't going to do it justice.
You got to do justice. I mean, I feel like
is my manly
here
duty.
On the Catholic Man Show, we are all about justice.
Yeah. So I picked a different topic this week, and it's going to kind of change gears from last week, because last week we were talking about leisure. In fact, it's actually going to be a change of pace from several shows.
Because, right, because the leisure, it kind of fit in with a lot of things.
Right. Well, and just the...
I don't remember what they are at the moment,
well,
but
the,
I just know it fit
the last,
in.
The last few podcasts, we've had a lot of like different types of topics, but it's not necessarily apologetic.
We have had a good theme going, I felt like. Yeah.
And I'm
going
to break it. I'm breaking that theme.
Sweet, dude.
I'm starting over. We're going to have a little bit more of an apologetic theme. And
okay.
So
okay.
I think that it's going to be good, at least in this next segment, to make sure that you have maybe a pen and paper. To,
yeah, okay, good suggestion.
Because we'll probably throw some Bible verses out there that you'll want to reference for later on. Maybe use it as a guide. But we're going to talk about what happens when a Jehovah's Witness knocks on the door.
Or rings your doorbell.
Or rings your doorbell.
Either one.
I've had this happen quite a bit.
I have never had this happen.
You've never had it happen.
I've never had a Mormon, never had a Jehovah's Witness.
And I think that we can probably end up doing another show later, like what happens when a Mormon rings your doorbell or knocks on your door.
Yeah.
I thought about doing both of them, and I was like, no. We can't do both. There's just too much.
You know,
much.
They're similar in a lot of ways, but they're also totally different.
Yeah, and so we can't do both.
Right.
So maybe in a future episode, we'll do what happens when a Mormon knocks on your door. But I think that it's very important to talk about this, and here's why. You don't realize that it's important until it happens. And I say that from experience. I've had several Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door and talk to me. And this was really kind of when we were, you know, the first time was with you and I were living together on Poplar.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I must have been gone.
You were gone, but he rang the doorbell.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember you telling me about this.
Right.
Because you went out to lunch with this guy or something.
Right. And so we were kind of both, that was like the point where we were both getting back into our faith pretty, you know, taking our faith pretty seriously.
Did we have the radio station yet?
No, we did not.
Okay.
We did not have the radio station.
Oh, because that was after I moved out. Right. Okay.
Right.
I'm with you.
And so, you know, we were diving into apologetics pretty strong, you know. That doesn't mean we knew much.
No.
But we were open to it, and we were studying and reading a lot.
Let's be honest, we still don't know that much.
No, we still, no, I, yeah. I hope that was not insinuating that we do know a lot now, because that's not the case at all.
No.
But I.
Although I know some things.
And I got to tell you that my confidence was high at that time.
Okay.
My confidence was strong. And so when he knocked on the door, I was like, yeah, let's talk.
I'm about to convert you.
Yeah, let's go. You ready to get into the Catholic Church, baby? You know, 2,000 years of tradition. And
right.
Let's do this. And I wouldn't say that he like stumped me, but he raised a lot of questions I was not prepared for. And here's why. I think that Jehovah's Witnesses have these specific things that they focus on that aren't the day-to-day topics that you talk about with other Protestants or even other Catholics or your buddies, you know,
right,
that you talk
yeah.
about on a regular basis, so you're not ready for them. And I think that it's important to I ran across this quote as I was preparing for the show that I really liked by Thomas Edison, and he said, "I start where the last man left off." And as we're talking about apologetics, I think that it's just important to think about that all of us men are when we're going through apologetics, we're really picking up where these huge shoulders of theological giants.
Yeah, the Titans of the past.
Yeah, left off. You know, the Aquinas's, the Ignatius, the you know, the Augustines. All of these guys, mm-hmm. you know, have really paved the way for us. We're just picking up where they left off.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's important that when we have somebody that, that knocks on our door, that we must be able to, one, explain our beliefs intelligently. We must be able to defend them charitably. And we must be able to share them effectively.
I think the second one's the hardest.
Oh, defending them charitably, especially
being
for
charitable,
men.
Like,
because you want to win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, I mean, you know, when you're in an argument, you want to win.
Yeah, and they, you know.
So.
Yeah.
But it but you have to be charitable. Otherwise, you know, it's the whole, they don't care about how much you know until they
yeah.
know how much you care.
I agree. If you're not charitable, then it doesn't matter what you say.
Right.
And even if you don't get the other two, if you're charitable, you know,
right.
you put off this vibe. You can win even without having all the arguments.
Because you come off as trustworthy.
Right.
Because you're charitable.
Now, you still need to come up, you know, do the research. You know, if you say, oh, I don't know, I have to look into that. Well, you should look into it and then get back with them.
Right. But, you know, here's the deal is, you know, this is really about, you know, 1 Peter 3:5. This is like living this out, right? You have to be prepared for a defense of your faith. And you... If a Jehovah's Witness knocks on the door, now that time is not the time that you have to be prepared. Like, you need to be prepared before they knock on your door, otherwise you're going to be in trouble.
You know what? Let me tell just a brief story.
Okay.
Rosalie Contrite.
Yeah.
A good friend of the show.
Yeah.
She's not a friend of the show, but she's
but she
a friend of the show.
Right.
She's got her own podcast, her own show. She used to be a militant atheist. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to catch an interview of hers that she did on a Christian TV, Catholic TV show recently, mm-hmm. where she was talking about her conversion. She went into a Catholic bookstore mm-hmm. and told the woman, oh, well, I'm actually an atheist. And this woman who worked at this bookstore said, let me give you these things. And like, oh, let me give you this rosary and I'll give you this, but you have to get it blessed and you have to go see this priest. Mm-hmm. Basically, the point of the story was I was so impressed with how ready this woman was for this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times have we had those opportunities to make a difference, to say the right thing, and we're just not prepared?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, for sure.
But this woman in the bookstore, she was ready.
Dude,
and
I prayed.
Rosalie, look at what she's now. She has her own radio, Catholic radio show.
Right.
You know, because exactly. of this woman being prepared to witness to her in that moment.
Dude, I totally dropped the ball. Even last week, I prayed, like, God, give me a way to evangelize at work. And the door was open, and I got the opportunity, and totally did not recognize the opportunity and just dropped the ball. Anyway, so I feel you.
Dude,
I know
it's
that.
Happened to me so many times.
It drives me crazy. But I do think that you have to be appreciative and acknowledge the willingness of what the Jehovah's Witnesses do.
Totally.
Because...
It's a good point. Because they're there at your door. They're trying
to
help you.
Any sales guy out there that is listening right now, you know how not fun cold calling is.
Yeah.
And these people do that all the time. And they're not getting paid to do that. You know, they're not making money doing this.
Right.
So I think you need to acknowledge at least, and that's something you can take away as Catholics, the willingness and the desire to evangelize. I think you also need to know that a lot of the Jehovah's Witnesses are actually ex-Catholics.
Right.
And so
it's the second biggest denomination in our country is ex-Catholics.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when they come out, they try to give you this shotgun approach, you know, this whole boom, 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 a bunch of different, things that they throw out there at you. And so it's very important. I think on the next break, we'll talk about, keep them focused on one topic, you know, and what these couple topics are that you want to talk mm-hmm. about, because they'll just throw a bunch of verses.
That's true.
They're trained.
No matter who you're talking, Protestants are often the same way.
Mm-hmm. They're yeah. trained to do that. You mm-hmm. know, they're trained, especially once they know that you're Catholic, they are trained. They go through training of, oh, if this is a Catholic, this is what you say. And you list off these verses and you say these things. And so anyway, I think that it's important to realize that, no, this is not what, you know, this is not how we can operate this conversation.
Right.
And control that conversation a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Just a little bit of facts before we hit to the break on Jehovah's Witnesses. And I think we also need to say that this isn't a dogging of Jehovah's Witnesses. This isn't like sitting here,
no.
We're not trying to dog on them or, you know, put them down. I'm going to lay out the facts, and so that way we know how how to talk to them.
Right, because we want to help them.
Right, exactly. So they're saying that about 8.3 million of them are evangelizers, like go door-to-door evangelizing, but there's about 20 million of them that attend the annual memorial attendance. So it's like it's a lot like, you know...
20 million?
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot like, you know, the Christer Catholics. You know about the Christer Catholics,
yeah.
The Christmas Easter Catholics.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's a kind of, I think that's kind of the same thing. They have 20 million that say that they're Jehovah's Witnesses, but there's 8.3 million that actually are active in the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, they've got a much better percentage than the Catholics do.
Yeah, that's true. So it started off with a Bible study movement in the 1870s by Charles Taze Russell. And then they split off and said they actually became Jehovah's Witnesses in 1931 to break off from Russell's tradition. So when we get back, we're going to focus on a couple things that you need to be prepared for. Get a pen and paper on the break. We're going to throw out some Bible verses.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
You're listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here with Adam Minahan, per usual. And, Adam, I got to tell you, I was talking with my brother.
Yeah.
Just over this last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Younger brother.
My younger brother, yeah. So he's in college.
He's hip and jive.
Right, yeah. He knows all, like, the cool
lit.
Stuff. Yeah, he knows what lit is.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah.
I've also heard wet is like another word for
another,
cool, which I don't know about that one.
I don't like that one at all.
Anyway, I was showing him pictures of the 40 Days for Life rally.
Yeah.
You know, because you had your fedora on, which was just awesome. It's just like legit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or lit.
Lit.
It's totally lit.
Right.
And he'd seen, like, yeah, I've seen him wearing it. And yeah, he's totally rocking it. It's awesome. And he goes, but you know, that means you can't get one. And I was like, what?
What? Why?
And I was like, what do you mean I can't get one? I'm totally getting one. He's like, one per crew, dude. You know that's the rule. You know that's the rule. One per crew. Okay? One per crew.
And you bought that
and
for me.
And I was
me.
Like, what? No. Forget that. It's like, I bought that hat. Me and Juan bought that. And it's, I'm getting one. Okay? Everybody in our crew is wearing fedoras. Forget that. That's going to be our crew's thing.
Like the Rat Pack.
Right. And I told him, I was like, dude, there was a day when everybody just, it wasn't a rule. Since when is that a rule? But
that's
you know what? It does feel an awful lot like when if two guys show up in a fedoras, it's like, what do you guys?
Yeah, it's suspicious.
Right. It's like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
You know, you think you're so cool, don't you?
Right. So I'm gonna take this one for you for our group.
That just means if I got it on, you have to take yours off.
Okay. Well, you don't even have one, so I'm not going to worry about it.
I'm going to get one.
Okay, so the topic. We were discussing it, and I was going to have 3 points that we were going to hit on the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay.
And after further review, the ruling on the field is we're going to only talk about one.
Okay.
On this episode. And then we're going to do a Friends of the Show episode and kind of expand on this
idea. Cover the other two.
Yeah, because we're not going to be able to fit through all of this, get through all of it in time. And do it justice. So we're going to focus on really the main aspect, which is Jesus as both divine and human.
Okay.
Because that's what they try to discredit is Jesus being divine. They use the word divine. They'll use it. So don't let that fool you. But they will use the word divine.
Those tricky Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah. But they're using divine as an outdated sense to simply mean like a holy person.
Okay.
And we know C.S. Lewis had that great quote, you know, he either is the savior or he is a liar.
Liar, lunatic, or Lord, yeah.
Right, so.
So sort of like one might say, this gooey butter cake is divine.
Exactly, meaning just, well, no, not exactly, because it's not a holy person. The gooey butter cake is not a holy person.
Could have fooled me.
Well, so the three things that the Jehovah's Witnesses do try to do is prove that Jesus is not God, and they try to show that the Holy Spirit is not a person, and they try to discredit the Bible verses that Christians use to support the Trinity.
It's a risky tactic, discrediting the Bible.
Discrediting the Bible.
I don't think that would have been my strategy.
Yeah, well, it's a bold one.
Yeah, it is. It's bold.
It is bold.
So you got to give them that.
I think we need to define what the Catholic Church teaches first.
Okay.
So the Catholic Church teaches that Jesus is true God and true man.
Okay, correct.
One divine person, two natures.
Two natures.
Right.
One person, two natures.
Yes, a divine nature and a human nature.
How many wills?
No, we're not getting into that. don't do that. Don't do
distract
that to me.
Distract me.
Yeah. So as man, Jesus is inferior to God. As a man, Jesus is inferior to the Father.
Okay.
Okay. As God, Jesus is...
You mean as a human person?
As a man, yeah.
Was he a human person?
As a man, no. No, but that's why I said a man.
Okay.
That's why I said a man.
So his divine nature, or his human nature.
His human nature, Jesus is inferior to the Father.
Okay.
As God, Jesus is perfectly equal to the Father.
Correct.
Okay. So Jesus is both equal to the Father in his divinity, as a lot of scripture says, but he is also inferior. So what they'll try to do is like talk about the Our Father, and the Jehovah's Witnesses will be like, see, he says God is the Father.
Mm-hmm. Or when he says the Father is greater than me.
Right, exactly. And that just goes to show you just the lack of understanding that they have on Jesus as the Trinity. Jesus has two natures.
Be curious to hear what they say about the Bible verse where Jesus says, when he uses the divine name, you know, before Moses, I am.
They change it. It says before Jesus or before Moses, I have been, or something like that.
They do?
I can't remember the exact translation, but it's like that.
You can't just do that.
I know. So that's the thing. Like, I think it's very clear whenever you start reading into the Jehovah's Witnesses, you want to go to first John 1:1. Mm-hmm. You know. The word was God. The word was a God is how they use the translation.
Mm-hmm.
And we always want to use Thomas, the doubting Thomas, when Thomas puts the finger into the side of Jesus and says, my Lord and my God.
My Lord and a God.
And how they, so you have to use their Bible.
Do you? Because, you know, like all of the scholars,
you don't have to, but you can, is the thing.
Okay, yeah.
And it makes
it
easier.
Sure.
Because you can say, let me take your Bible, your translation, because a lot of the things they'll start talking about, you know, with the Greek, well, there's, you know, you're adding the A, and you're like, listen, no one else in the history of all of theology and looking at the Bible, no one says that the word was a God.
Right. Every scholar agrees that the New World Translation is false.
But in my limited experience, and what I've also read, is the most effective way to do this is to take their Bible and use their Bible.
Okay.
And you can do it, which is really funny.
Yeah.
But you can do that. They say also when Thomas, you know, put his finger in his side and says, my Lord and my God, they actually say that he just got so excited he didn't know what he was saying. And that's how they refute that, is they say that he just was so excited and emotionally overwhelmed that he said something that wasn't really accurate.
Well, okay. If they believe he was not man, mm-hmm. what about the fact that he rose from the dead? Like, when Thomas is putting his finger in his side,
mm-hmm.
he's doing it to a resurrected Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a thing.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That is a thing. Here's one that you can take their Bible.
Okay.
And write this down, because it's Matthew 1:23.
Okay.
This is their translation. Their translation says, look, the virgin will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which is translated, with us is God, or God with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the Jehovah's Witnesses are admitting that this is a prophecy about Jesus,
uh-huh.
who is called Emmanuel,
mm-hmm.
God with us. So note here that Jesus is referring to God, you know, as God with a capital G here. And not just a lowercase g.
God the Archangel.
Yeah, exactly. Another really fun one to take their Bible is there's three verses that are
wham,
bullet points.
Wham, wham, wham.
Yeah, Isaiah 43:11. It says, I am Jehovah, and besides me there is no Savior. Okay, that's their translation. You go over to Titus 3:6. It says, this spirit he poured out richly upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so Jesus is the Savior.
Yeah. And then Titus 3:4 says, however, when the kindness and the love of man on the part of our Savior God was manifested.
Mm-hmm.
So here, Isaiah, you can say, listen, were they not talking about, who are they talking about here? Were they talking about God, the Savior?
Right.
Okay. Well, and then in Titus 3:6, it says, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Uh-huh.
And then Titus 3:4, it says, our Savior God was manifested.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, get out of that one.
Yeah, try to get out of that.
Do they? I mean, I'm sure they have a response.
Well, they attempt to explain them, like, noting that Nathaniel, back in the Old Testament in Judges, delivered Israel from his enemies. And so he was the Savior of Israel from, so they were saying that that's how they were using it. But anyone can be called Savior in the sense of rescuing and protecting somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We say that all the time, even today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, you're my Savior. You know, oh, you saved me. You know, you're my Savior. You know, whenever you help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But this is more of a limited meaning and cannot be applied to the above ones because we're literally talking about God here and not, you know, doing a favor.
Right.
So that's how. But that's what they try to use.
Now, if I recall, Jesus is Archangel Saint Michael, he mm-hmm. dies, and then like when he rises, do they believe something like he was recreated through the memory of God, God's memory of Saint Michael? And
well, that's kind of, we're kind of getting combined Mormon and Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, that's not what the Jehovah's Witnesses think.
Well, no, because they believe that Jesus is Saint Michael the Archangel.
Okay, so when he died.
He did rise.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's just really important. I think this whole concept is to make sure that you understand. I think that if you understand what the Catholic Church teaches on Jesus, the mm-hmm. divinity and the divinity of Jesus.
Right.
If you conquer that, then you've conquered the 2/3 of the Trinity already. You know, when you're talking to these Jehovah's Witnesses, because they already admit that God is
Father.
Father. So if you can get to Jesus, then it's an easy transition into the rest of the mm-hmm. Trinity.
So all you need to do is like completely understand the Trinity.
Yeah, that's easy.
And then
easy.
It'll be no problem.
Super.
Yeah.
Piece of cake.
And then just explain
case
it real
closed.
Quick.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Very easily too. Simplistically.
Yeah.
So that, I do think that if you focus just on Jesus, not on the Trinity, on Jesus as a divinity, as a divine person, the rest will kind of flow out. We'll do a Friends of the Show episode, and we'll kind of dive into this a little bit more. But be prepared, men, and be prepared early. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.